Okay, so let's begin. So this week's Parsha Tazria Metzora, so I figured I would discuss, since our rabbis tell us that Metzora, Tzaras, comes as a result of Lashon Hara, I wanted to speak about an aspect of Lashon Hara, namely Kabbalas Lashon Hara, the prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara. This source, the primary source of this, is the Gemara in Pesachim, Rav Sheis, Shemar, Elizabeth, and Azariah, Kol Mesaper, Lashon Hara, V'chol Mekabel, Lashon Hara, V'chol Amed, Edu Sheker, B'chaveir, Roy, Lashlich, L'Klavim. So, somebody who is Mekabel, who accepts Lashon Hara, Roy, Lashlich, L'Klavim, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk, L'Sisa, Shem, Ashav, don't bear false witness, V'kari, Be, Lo, Sasi, don't carry it. Meaning don't carry false information with you and don't carry Lashon Hara ultimately, we don't have time to go into this now, Lashon Hara ultimately always has some sort of sheker to it. Even though we know that it applies when it's the truth, but it's never really the truth. If it comes out as Lashon Hara, there's always some exaggeration or innuendo or something that accompanies it. So that's why here the Gemara calls it sheker. The Rambam quotes this as a matter of halacha, that when it says Lo Sisa Shem Hashav, included in this is Mekabel Lashon Hara. So what is the Isser of Kabbalas Lashon Hara? So there's three comments in the Rishonim which kind of give us a bigger picture in this. The Shere Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah V'Hinei Nizarin of Masha Kosev Lo Sisa Shem Hashav Shelo Namin Bili Beinu Sipur Lashon Hara. Don't believe it. Lahafzik B'Machshav Teinu Kol Advarim Emesu Lahavzos Beinu As Misha Amrla. So to believe it and to embarrass somebody or to denigrate somebody based on based on the information received. Rashbam writes Shemakablu Maminu Al Chaveiro, that you accept it and believe it about your friend, and then he points out, which we'll get to a little bit later. That even though you're not allowed to mekabel it, if you hear something that can potentially be harmful to you, you're allowed to be concerned for it. And then the Ramban, this is an important comment of the Ramban, kind of almost tangentially, when he's talking about Hezek Re'iyah, when he's talking about the idea of not snooping on your neighbors, so he talks about the various reasons why it would be prohibited, and one of them, he says, is Lashon Hara, Imishum Lishna Bisha. So why would snooping on your neighbor be Lashon Hara? So Rav Aaron Grossman in V'Darashta V'Chakarta points out the Yerushalmi says, Ezu Lashon Hara Ha'omro V'Hayodo, that somebody who knows Lashon Hara, that's part of the prohibition of Lashon Hara, meaning it doesn't have to come to you through somebody else pointing out the information to you. If you look through your window and you see somebody doing something wrong, you could violate the Isra of Kabbalas Lashon Hara by looking at something, meaning that you weren't supposed to be looking at, for not for tznius reasons, meaning for privacy reasons, that you weren't supposed to look into the guy's backyard, and you saw him smoking on Shabbos, or whatever he was doing. So that could be part of the prohibition of Kabbalas Lashon Hara, in that you accepted it even though nobody told you about it. And this is this idea is very relevant, Bizman Azeh, you start Googling people and what they're up to and whatnot. So even though the person may have posted his own information, but he didn't expect other people to see it or whatever, or you put two things together, so that might be a violation of Kabbalas Lashon Hara, even if nobody told you it. But an important point here is, this is an obvious question. Sometimes somebody says a piece of Lashon Hara, and a guy says, I'm not a Kabbal. So does that help? So Moshe Sternbach points out, and you see this already from Rabbeinu Yonah, that the primary Isser of Kabbalas Lashon Hara is not on what's in your mind, meaning that's an important piece of how the whole thing plays out, but it's really what you do with the information. Rabbeinu Yonah says, right, that Shalonam and Billy Beinu, don't believe it and end up embarrassing the person. And you look through the Chafetz Chaim, he seems to formulate that as well, that the real prohibition is, I heard this piece of Lashon Hara, and I was gonna, I was gonna invite this guy over next Shabbos. Now they heard it, I'm not gonna invite him. Not because he's dangerous or because they have to be choshish for it. Just that you accepted it now. Because you accepted it, you changed the way you relate to this person. That's the primary issue of Kabbalas Lashon Hara. What we believe, or Moshe Sternbach says, we're not malachim, meaning what we believe, meaning you hear it, you know, sometimes you try the best, but you can't always get out of your mind what you're told. That's not the important point. The important point is what you do with it afterwards, that if you act upon that information in a way that shows that you believe it, that's where it becomes problematic. If you just keep it inside your head and say, okay, you know, I try my best not to believe it. So you try your best, but Schirnbach says we're not malachim. Okay, now I referenced before that you're allowed to be concerned for it. The source for that, it's a longer sugya. I only have a piece of it here. It talks about if you're learning about some Gedalia, this Gemara also relates to it. Meaning the previous few lines. There were these two people, and there was a rumor that they killed somebody. So they knocked on Rabbi Tarfon's door, and they said, "Can you hide us? Can you give us some shelter?" I'm not sure what to do. If I don't hide you, then the government's going to find you. And meaning, what's the problem with the government finding him? Because maybe they didn't really. Meaning, it's just a rumor that they killed somebody. So if they didn't kill somebody, now the government finds them and they don't get a fair trial, so then Rabbi Tarfon will have been party to allowing these people to be executed for no reason. But Admarinchu, but if I hide you, Hamarabanon, Hai Lishnabisha, Avalam the Klabuli, low boy, Mechoshlami boy. So even though you're not allowed to accept Lashon Hara, meaning I can't accept the rumor that you killed somebody as true, but I have to be concerned for it, and since I have to be concerned for it, you know, go find some other place to hide. So what was he so concerned about? What was the mechush? Shema haraktem va'asr l'hatzil etzchem. That's what Rashi says. If you killed somebody, I'm not allowed to save you. Why not? We'll see in a second. And the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, v'teimu l'farishkin, v'chiyam yotza kol adam shechata b'shvil kol ba'almi asr l'hatzil. If there's a rumor about somebody doing an Aveira, all of a sudden you're not allowed to save them. Venira, so he says what was going on here was that there was a decree of the government that if you harbor a criminal, then you could also be subject to similar punishments. So he says, look, I'd be very happy to save you guys, but I'm not willing to risk my life for you guys. So go find a different place to hide and you'll be okay. So the Chofetz Chaim points out, you could say that the machlok between the Rashi and the Rosh is that Rashi felt that when there's a concern that you treat it like a suffix, meaning maybe they did kill, maybe they didn't kill, and I have to treat it like a suffix. And if it's a suffix, so you can't save the murderers because they may end up murdering somebody else, meaning the same way they murdered, maybe they may end up murdering him. And they knocked on Rabbi Tarfon's door. There's a rumor they murdered someone. I can't take you in because if you murdered Plony, how do I know you're not going to murder me? And Rabbeinu, and the Rosh says, no, it's just a rumor. The rumor is not enough to make a judgment against somebody, but if, you know, whether the rumor is true or not, the rumor is out there, and if the government thinks that the rumor is true, they're going to kill Rabbi Tarfon. That's why he didn't want to save them. And the Chafetz Chaim notes that the Gemara in Ksuva seems to indicate that you can't treat it as a suffix, you can't treat it as a real doubt, but just, you have to be choshesh that the rumor may have some credibility to it. How do we know this? Because Gemara talks about, the Gemara tries to find a case where a woman would forfeit her ksuva because of promiscuity. So the Gemara says, maybe we're talking about a case where there's a rumor, d'nafakala kala d'zanai, there's a rumor that she was mizana. So the Gemara says, We're not concerned about rumors. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what do you mean? Why would we take away her ksuva because of a rumor? If we're not concerned about rumors, that means that, let me say it like this. If there's a bona fide doubt, then the husband can say, I'm not paying the ksuva because the ksuva is only for people who are not mizana. But if it's just a rumor, you couldn't... you couldn't dispense with, meaning if we treat the rumor as just a concern, just a minor concern, and not a real doubt, so then he would have no claim anyway. So Chafetz Chaim says, you see that from the fact that the Gemara rejects it, that there's no claim and that we treat the rumor not as a suffix, but as just a minor thing. There's a story in Tanakh about... I'm trying to do this quickly because I only have 6 minutes. There's a story in Tanakh about Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth was Shaul HaMelech's son. So after all of Shaul's descendants died, David HaMelech decided, what is he going to do with Shaul's estate? He's going to give it to find out if one of the kids was somewhat loyal to me. So he asked Tziva, and Tziva says that there was a fellow, Mephibosheth, he's a cripple, and he should get, and so David HaMelech says that he should get the whole estate. Later on, during Avshalom's rebellion, David runs into Tziva and says, hey, where's Mephibosheth? And he says, well, Mephibosheth has joined the rebellion. So, fine. So David says, okay, Tziva, you'll get the estate. Then Mephibosheth comes to David, and he looks disheveled, and he looks, he's unkempt, and Mephibosheth says, I wasn't part of the rebellion. Tziva tricked him into thinking that it was part of the rebellion. So David declares, you know what, let's just split the estate. Half goes to Tziva, half goes to Mephibosheth. And then Mephibosheth says, you know what, if that's the case, let him just take the whole thing. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas about this. Rav says that David was guilty of Kabbalah Lashon Hara. And Shmuel says, no, that there were dvarim hanikarim, that there were things that David saw that allowed him to do this. What were the things? Number one, that he came to David you don't come to a king all disheveled. And number two, when he was told to split the estate, he said, you know what, if you're not going to give me the whole thing, I don't want it. So the Smak says, Vim adam rabbe chaveirot stadim vinyanim shenirat avaremes rashi lahamin lakabel. So if you see indicators besides the actual piece of information, if there are other things indicating that the information is true, you let it be mekabel. Meaning he passes like Shmuel, and that's what David followed. Fine, but the Chavetz Chaim limits this, because this would be in a lot of cases like this. Usually, sometimes when somebody tells the Lashon Hara, it's taka not true, and there's no kabbalah Lashon Hara. But sometimes somebody tells you something, and then you start seeing a lot of other things that seem to back up what this person told you. So what do you do with that? So Rashi and the Marsha, so the Chavetz Chaim makes 2 points. The Chavetz Chaim, this is the Marsha's kasha. I mean, why does the Gemara say 2 things? One, that he was unkempt, and the other is that he said he was going to, when he said to split the estate, he said, you know what, if I'm not going to take the whole thing, I don't want it at all. Well, why not just one? Why do you need 2 dvarim hanikarim? Because it has to be, meaning the Chavetz Chaim, it has to be really muchach. I can't just be like, oh, there's one thing to back up what that person told me, that's enough to be mekabel lashon hara. It has to be, really solid, something really solid. And then the other point he makes is that this case isn't the normal case, meaning if you're talking about right, like we said, the whole Isser, the primary Isser of Kabbalah Lashon Hara is to act upon the information and change what you're doing based on this. So, let's say, you're going to go into a business deal with someone, and somebody tells you a piece of information, and it's not because you're worried about that this person's not trustworthy or something along those lines that you're not going to go into the deal. Just after you find out this piece of information, you'd rather go into this business deal with somebody else. You thought this guy was a good guy and you wanted to find a good guy, and now you find out the guy's not such a good guy. So now let's say there's Dvarim Hanikarim as well. So if it was no Dvarim Hanikarim, we said you can't change your mind based on the Kabbalah Lashon Hara. Now if there's Dvarim Hanikarim, is that okay? So the Chavetz Chaim says, well, it depends. If there's going to be a hefsid mamon on the part of the other individual, so then it would be a problem. But in the case of David HaMelech was the king, and he can do whatever he wants with the estate. So he had the right to give the estate to Ploni, and he had the right to give the estate to Amoni. So he decided to give it to Mephibosheth, and just as he can give it to him, he can also take it away. And so it's not really, when it comes to the Manas HaMelech, or to property in the kingdom, so everything really belongs to the king, and he can give it to whoever he pleases. But in an ordinary situation, if you're Mekabel Lashon Hara based on Dvar Manikarim, it can only be such that you're taking away a guy's privilege as opposed to a guy's something that the person is entitled to. If he's entitled to it monetarily and then you take it away, so then even with Dvar Manikarim, you can't be Mekabel the Lashon Hara.
you can still decide who you want to do business with.
Right, you might be able to decide who you want to do business with, but if you already, let's say, started to make the deal and you didn't sign on the dotted line yet, that might be more of a problem because, you know, there's kind of an expectation, a commitment already in place. I mean, I don't know, you know, in the case of David and Melch, there's also a commitment, but... If the partnership is, you can't dissolve, let's say, a partnership based on that, if it's going to cause the other fellow a loss. Okay. Okay.